Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We are going up's League Two preview. This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
We're back, and I know what you're thinking, a nice understated start to the season as ever. Welcome to episode 133 of We Are Going Up. It is the first podcast of our fourth season, can you believe? I'm Mark Crossley. I'm delighted to say that through the glass from me, not alongside me, through the glass is Mr. David Cameron Walker. DC, here we go again.
Hello.
How are the excitement levels?
Building each day as we go up. Yeah, I know. I'm really excited. I think having the World Cup this summer was a sort of welcome distraction from the Football League, if you like. And now I'm ready for it, though. I had a few weeks off to recover from the World Cup, and now I'm ready to go.
Okay, I know that many people listening are eagerly awaiting the news of our all-day World Cup drinking trek around London, the hashtag One Day World Cup, as we called it. Three men, 24 hours, 32 venues in London, one for each World Cup nation, lots of booze, a dog, Jarvis Cocker, a Hungarian rickshaw driver, and a 40 quid bottle of champagne. Those are just some of the headlines. It was quite ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah. it's taken me a little while to recover, to be honest with you. But you may have seen it on Twitter as we're doing it throughout on the day. We posted up a little Storify after the day, so you can go and see it if you want. It was an eventful day. It was interesting.
If you Google hashtag One Day World Cup with the one being a number one, you will find the Storify, which tells the story of the day beautifully. I think the lowest moment was you ringing up an Algerian coffee house in London from the back of a cab, asking them to stay open past 8 p.m.
It was like something out of The Apprentice, wasn't it? Really dashing around. But he was a great man.
He was a
Algeria
great man.
Became my sort of second favourite team in the World Cup.
Didn't
after that.
Did he promise some work experience at TalkSport or something like that? And you got a text from him the next day.
Not the Algerian coffee store owner, no.
The cab driver.
Let's forget about that.
Okay, a few bits of business to get out of the way before we kick off the season. Firstly, we should say that we're in a brand new studio, as we said we probably would be at the end of last season. So if it sounds a little bit different, that will explain why. That's the first thing. Second thing, there might be people just joining us now who haven't listened to We Are Going Up before, who just found us on iTunes or whatever at the start of the new season. So we're going to do a little bit of a reintroduction, getting to know you type exercise, DC.
Okay, are we? News to me.
Yeah. So I'm going to say a statement and then you've got to sort of repeat it for you. That makes sense?
Right.
It's very, very quick. So I'm going to go. Here we go. So to new listeners, hello, I'm Mark.
Hello, I'm David.
I'm 27.
I'm 28.
I live in West London.
I live in East London.
I'm from Bury near Manchester originally.
I'm from Watford near London originally.
I support Bury Football Club.
I support Watford Football Club.
I'm a radio presenter.
I'm a radio producer.
My favourite moment in football was Ryan Lowe scoring against Chesterfield in 2011 to help Bury get promoted from League Two.
My favourite moment in football was my sort of favourite moment in football. I suppose it has to be Deeney scoring for Watford against Leicester in that playoff semi-final, but it's also kind of bittersweet because I wasn't there and I think about it almost daily.
There you go. Right, we've got that out of the way. We should say we're kind of a couple of men down really this season. Jim Knight has moved back to Leicester. Carl is still going to be on now. And I think
Premier League team.
No, exactly.
That's it. Gone.
They've got promoted.
The first time of asking.
So he's gone. So for the time being, it's just going to be me and you. So we're going to do the podcast slightly differently this season and we're going to sort of explain right at the top of the show how it's going to work.
We don't
really know yet, but you're used to having sort of 50 minutes to an hour every week of us on chatting to a couple of guests, whatever. This season there might not be a podcast every week because if one of us is away we can't really do the show. I hope you understand. We're kind of laying it on the table at the start of the season, so hopefully you'll follow or go with us in this kind of new format. So we're going to be doing it slightly differently.
Less is more, I think.
Less is more.
Yeah.
And the day that the show's come out might be slightly scattered due to studio issues because we lost our studio in the summer, so it might not necessarily come out on the same day every week. Hopefully, but we're not sure. But we are going to do sort of different topics this season because last season we spent a lot of the time talking about the latest manager to be sacked or whatever. Whereas this season we're going to go more in depth, aren't we, on certain topics related to the Football League?
Yeah. I think so. I think, you know, for example, you know, the shows that we did last season, such as the one we did after the whole League 3
B-team
proposal, Greg Dyke's proposal was announced. We did sort of a special on that. When the shows that we went out and about on the road to different games.
The Mike Calvin one, the transfers one.
Absolutely. So we're going to maybe look at a few different subjects, different sort of themes, features, a bit more in depth with some mini documentaries, rather than the week in, week out daily grind of looking at the results and the hirings and firings and stuff. Yeah, well, there'll still be room for that. If big stories happen, we'll still endeavour to talk to, you know, the various local journalists, yeah, bloggers, fans, managers, players and people up and down the country that we have done in the past. But maybe we'll just put that out, you know, a 15 minute interview out, yeah, there for you to enjoy on SoundCloud or iTunes or wherever it may be. So you're not going to hear from us every week, but when you do hear from us we should hopefully be in better form.
Well, the podcast is evolving, that's what I'm saying. So we'd love you to get involved. We would like you to tweet us at Wagyu Podcast. You are going to get 3 shows from us this week, so we are starting the season with a bang. We're kind of spoiling you. There are big prediction shows. We did them last season, I think the season before as well. So who's going up, who's going down? Get involved at Wagyu Podcast, W-A-G-U Podcast on Twitter, or email us via the website weargoingup.co.uk, which shall be getting a facelift of some sort in the next month or so, I'm pleased to say. First initial thoughts then, before I tell everyone about our guest today. League 2 this season, how do you see it going? Because it was ridiculously tight last year, wasn't it?
Absolutely, it was. I mean, I was looking at the league table in preparation for this, and it was incredible, really, how close it was. Because you look at the league position, you think, oh, you know, they didn't have a great season. They finished 14th, or so such and such team finished 7th, and you know maybe they'll do better this season. But you look at the points total, and from those clutch of teams just outside the playoffs to the ones just above the relegation zone, there was nothing in it. I mean, Bury are a perfect example, Mark. There were a couple of shows last season in the spring where we were really, you know, you were nervous saying that relegation was a real prospect, and then went on that amazing run towards the end of the season, and you weren't that far away from the playoffs really at the end of the season. York City being another similar sort of example. So it was really tight, and I think that shows that there wasn't last season much between the division really in terms of quality. A couple of signings here and there, injuries here and there can make all the difference really. And you know, you always want to look at the teams coming down. Are they going to be strong? Are the teams coming up going to be strong? How is the composition of the division changed? And we'll go into more depth in this later on. But I actually think there might be a pack and maybe a bit separated from the division at the top. There might be maybe four or five teams that go out on their own, perhaps. Whereas the relegation battle this season, I think, could be really, really interesting, because with the exception of Exeter, I really was struggling to pick, another team to be relegated.
Well, that is the good news. We are going to do our predictions a little bit later, which I know a lot of people look forward to. So they are coming back, perhaps not in the way we did it last year. We'll explain more later in the show. Later on, we're going to be speaking to Mark O'Hare, who's been on the show quite a few times before. Football League betting expert. He'll be coming on to give us his best League 2 bets for this season. He's going to come on all three shows.
Won me a good bit of money over the summer, did Mark?
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to him about that in a bit.
Yeah.
So Mark's going to be on all three shows, we hope, this week. So we'll speak to him later. And also Lloyd Langman from the superb Football League blog, The Two Unfortunates, who's written the Two Unfortunates League 2 preview. So Lloyd is going to join us a little bit later. But we're going to start with a special guest who we spoke to a few minutes ago, aren't we? Mr. David Connolly, a man who has played and scored in every single division in England, as well as in Holland, in Eredivisie, and also played in the World Cup for the Republic of Ireland back in 2002. At the age of 37, he is still playing. He's back at Portsmouth after spending the second half of last season on loan at Oxford. A few minutes ago, we spoke to David about the season that awaits in League Two, and I started by asking him what it's like for a professional footballer in the few days leading up to the start of the new season.
Well, I mean, today we had an open training session at Fratton Park, which was really good. You know, a lot of the fans came in, watched the session, and then we had an autograph session after. And obviously, you know, then it builds that the season's, you know, nearly upon you. So obviously the fans are excited. They've all got some of them have got their new shirts on and, you know, wanting autographs and pictures. And, you know, it brings it home that actually now it's, you know, you could be my last one. Who knows? Could be my last season. And this is obviously just before it starts. So yeah, it's exciting for the fans. It's exciting for the players. And really now, you almost just want the game to start, really.
And I mean, fans and pundits and bookmakers alike will sometimes look at pre-season and look at friendly results and, you know, players that leave and players that come into clubs. And how important is pre-season as a whole in terms of getting yourselves ready for the season? How much of an indicator is it of what season the club could have ahead?
Well, it can go, you know, lots of different ways, and it has done in my career. Sometimes you might be winning in pre-season and scoring, and other times you might, you know, be losing or not scoring, but you still go on to have a good season. It can go lots of different ways. I think the key is, I mean, fitness is important, but I believe that you still need to, you know, win your matches or get good results in pre-season, because every match counts. You know, players' confidence builds from playing matches. Now, I think the days of coming back and needing a week or two to get fit are completely gone. Now, when the players come back, forgetting that the League Two season ended the first week in May, and a lot of teams are back first week in July, that's 2 months off, you know, so I think in that time, you know, if I was manager now, I'd be cutting that break down and making sure that when we start, everybody's A1 fit, and obviously you minimise your injuries. Sometimes it's happened at Portsmouth this season already, where we're looking at 7, 8, 9 injuries, players who are missing, who might not be fit for the first game, and we've only been back training for 4 and a bit weeks. So fitness is key, and obviously keeping everybody fit and avoiding injuries is key, and these pre-season games are important. You know, you want to go into them, you want to win them, and you want to go into the season all the players full of confidence, they're fit, they're strong, and they're already used to winning. I mean, you can see that with all the big boys, Man United, you know, playing away on tour. They want to win every game matters, and that's how it should be.
And how are you finding being back at Portsmouth after being at Oxford in the second half of last season on loan? What's the atmosphere like in the squad? Obviously, Andy Orford's now the permanent manager, and he's made some moves in the window over the summer. What's the mood like amongst the players?
I mean, Portsmouth is a fantastic, well-supported club. I mean, you know, 20,000, they can fit in that ground, 18, 19, 20,000, you know, they come through hell or high water. So, you know, they will give the team and the people in charge all the support they need. And for that, obviously, the players and everyone else at the club has got to do it on the pitch. And that hasn't happened too often in the, you know, the recent past. So it's about time, obviously, that the team started delivering, you know, as players, we started delivering for them, getting results. And, you know, last season was probably one to forget. And I spent the second half on loan at Oxford. And it was a bit different there, a smaller sort of club who had a lot of injuries. And again, it's so important keeping your squad fit. It can really have an effect on where you finish in the league. When I got there, I think they were running at 60% of the first team squad were fit. I mean, that is you've got a first choice of 11 and 4 or 5 of them are out. You know, it's a real hard ask to continue that for the whole season. So, but yeah, good times at Portsmouth, new manager. Not too sure what his plans are, if I'm in his plans, but obviously, you know, you want Portsmouth to do well. It's his first managerial job, and hopefully he gets the results on the pitch.
And last season, obviously, Portsmouth were among the favourites pre-season with the bookmakers to go up, and they had a lot of pressure on them and a lot of expectation given the size of the club playing at League Two, by far the biggest club in that division really in terms of fan base. But obviously, as you just mentioned, it didn't go well for various reasons last year. But again this season, they find themselves amongst the favourites. There is expectation again once more on Portsmouth. Do you think that they are right to be amongst the favourites? Do they justify their status as being fancy for promotion, or do you think it might be a bit more difficult than the bookmakers think?
Well, it's a tricky one in that, obviously, from such a strong finish, I think everyone's, you know, bookmakers included, will be hoping for that to continue. Now, that is possible. It's also hard to do. I think they've got a fighting chance, as good a chance as anyone. They should be really strong at home, where they've got the pull of the crowd behind them. You know, but it's a long season. It's League Two, you can almost split it between summer and winter football, how you do in the summer months. And then in December, January, how things go then when you get injuries. And that's really important, because you might go into the season with one way of playing, with everybody fit, an ideal formation. You might be scoring goals, you might be keeping it tight at the back. You pick up a few injuries, and before you know it, you might be missing your striker, you might be missing your centre-half, and you might have to change from a 4-2-3-1 to a 4-4-2, and you know, you lose a bit of solidity and you start conceding goals. So you know, all those teams who get promoted and all those managers are doing such a fantastic job, because it's a long season, and those that get it in the end thoroughly deserve to get promoted. So, you know, hopefully that's Portsmouth.
And how do you see League Two this season? Because last year, I think out of the three divisions, it was the tightest by far in terms of points from top to bottom. There's a lot of congestion in the middle of the division. Are you expecting something similar this year, or do you think with some of the sides that have come down from League One, there might be a few more sort of clear-cut favourites?
I think there's a lot of, if you look at the clubs, and in particular the people in charge, there's a lot of experience there mixed with some youth managers just starting out, and a number of whom I played with. You know, Graham Kavanagh's at Carlisle, they came down just starting out in the game. I really hope it goes well for him. Gareth Ainsworth at Wickham doing a great job. They just about stayed up, but you know, they're on a shoestring budget, same as Carlisle. Neil Ardley at Wimbledon, the same. I played with him at Wimbledon, again doing a great job on a shoestring. He's gone and bought a couple of strikers maybe from last season. He's learned, you know, where their sort of weakness is. So, you know, with them, then you've got a couple of ex-Premier League managers in Phil Brown at Southend, Nigel Worthington at York. You know, Justin has been doing a great job at Newport. You know, there's some really good managers in this division. You know, Michael Appen obviously coming to Oxford, and you know, it's actually dominated by those managers who, you know, maybe were managing higher up to begin. Now they're starting again, and you know, no problem rolling their sleeves up and getting on with it and doing it. David Flitcroft at Bury, you know, I think they'll be very strong. He looks a very astute tactician. So I think it's a really interesting league this season, much like last season. And I do feel it'll be pretty tight.
Another one of your former teammates, Gary Rowett, who played at Leicester, and when they're manager of Burton Albion now. They obviously suffered defeat in the playoff final to Fleetwood last season. They were up in the playoffs the season before. They've had two strong seasons, but you know, it's going to be a real challenge for them to keep their motivation up, go again. They've added to the squad again, but I believe certainly if they can kind of combine the past two seasons, they had a really good attacking sort of performance 2 years ago, scoring plenty of goals. Last season they were a lot tighter at the back, perhaps struggled in front of goal at times. If they can kind of marry those two things together this season, I believe they should be right up there.
Yeah, Gary obviously is another bright up and coming manager. You've got Colin Cooper at Hartlepool as well. You know, the sort of list is endless. You know, obviously not forgetting John Steele coming up with Luton, Richard Money at Cambridge. You know, a lot of experience mixed with sort of youthful young managers getting their start in the game, and you just hope they all continue their education. You don't want to see anyone else, you know, losing their job so short in football. And you know, they need at least a good season two, like you say. Gary at Burton, he's bedded his team down, you know, and you know, sort of season by season you just get closer and closer. Obviously, you know, you've got Paul Tisdale at Exeter doing another cracking job with again a shoestring budget, a lot of youth players, a lot of the players from their own setup, you know, but able to change formation two or three times in a match. And it's a tough league, a lot of travelling, a lot of teams down south, your Plymouth, your Exeters, obviously there's Portsmouth and other ones, and then you've got a lot of teams up north as well. So it's a real slog Saturday, Tuesday, and come the end of the season, those that do get promoted, they thoroughly deserve it.
And David, you're a player that throughout your career, you've played at every level of the game, right from the top internationally, you know, the World Cup, all the way through to the Premier League. Played obviously in Holland as well towards the start of your career. So perhaps you're well placed to answer this question. How does League Two at the moment compare to some of the other divisions, you see players who are a bit towards the end of their career, like yourself, coming down to League Two. You see a lot of young players who are maybe on loan from Premier League or Championship clubs playing there. There's a nice mixture of really young players and really experienced players. But what's the standard like, and how does it sort of differ? How much is there a difference, shall we say, between say League top of League One and the Championship to where League Two is at the moment?
Well, you can on and off that you can be easily punished. I mean, Southend when I was at Oxford, they beat us 3-0 at their place, and you know, a physical side, really well drilled, and if you're not up to it, you know, you will come off second best quite easily, and that was a 3-0 defeat, and it could have been possibly more. So you know, you have got to be, doesn't matter what league you've played at, what division you've played in, you're up against players who, like you say, they might have a mixture of youth, they might have Premier League pace, they might not have Premier League experience because they're coming down, they're only young, but they might have the pace. They might have the vigour and the youthfulness to try things that maybe older experienced pros won't. We had one at Oxford in Ryan Williams on loan from Fulham, who did brilliant. You know, brilliant winger. He's gone back to Fulham now. You know, so some clubs can benefit from that. You know, and there will be the likes of Carlisle and Hartlepool looking for those sort of loans from Middlesbrough and Sunderland, you know, the bigger boys. But also, too many loans, I think, can affect you, and you do need a settled side of some sort. And the January window is obviously really important. Once you've had the summer months, coming into January, that January window, whoever's able to use that, you saw it at Scunthorpe last season. That's Wilcox made a couple of signings in the January window, and it just kicked them on that extra little bit. And I contrast that when I went to Oxford. Great club, great people at the club, but we're running at 60% in the first team fit, and they signed me, but we possibly needed one more centre half, and you know, we're nicking a goal or two. And if you're not scoring loads, which they weren't all season, if you're nicking a goal or two, you need to keep it tight at the back, and we just weren't able to maybe hold a 1-0 win or a 2-1, you know, we'd turn it into a draw. So the January window is vitally important as well.
And David, finally, I just wanted to ask, you mentioned there a lot of players that you played with during your career now find themselves managing in League Two and are taking their first steps into managing and coaching. Is that something you see yourself doing in the near future?
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, you know, that's why everyone says keep playing. You know, I speak to some of my managers when I can, whether it's Alan Pardew or Kenny Jackett, whoever it may be. You know, and they all say keep playing as long as you can. So, you know, you try and hang in there. Obviously, you want to still contribute. But, you know, I've done my A licence. I've just been asked to apply for the pro licence. And, you know, I've done all the courses that anyone who's still playing can reasonably do. I've done a management course with Wayne Burnett at Dagenham, another cracking manager, you know, a really lovely bloke. I've done a managerial course with him, Brian Wesley as well at Stevenage. So, you know, I'm trying to do all the right things, put the X's and Y's in place, and, you know, just I love coaching. Passionate about my football, and if it happens one day, great. You know, I've been keeping a sort of football coaching log for years, about 15 years. I've got books everywhere, all my sessions I've ever done, from right when I was a youngster going over to Holland at 18, 19. So I've got all the stuff, but you know, it's very difficult. That's why I've got a lot of respect for these managers to actually put it into practice and get results. And you know, football is a ruthless business. You can, you know, be out of a job within a few months. So it's not something that you go into sort of, you've got to have your eyes wide open, in fact, of how it can go wrong. So when you do go into it, you want to be fully prepared and hope that you stay in. And that's what I'd hope to do.
That was David Connolly, the Portsmouth striker, speaking to us a few minutes ago. And Andy Orford's record, DC, when you look at it since he came in towards the end of last season, I think 5 successive wins and then 2 draws in his 7 games so far. I'm not quite sure he's going to be able to keep that standard up this season, but things do look a little bit more promising, don't they, with some of these additions to the squad over the summer. Craig Westcar coming from Walsall, Danny Hollands from Charlton, Miles Storey on loan from Swindon amongst them. Things are looking up for Portsmouth.
Yeah, I think they are. I think obviously they were favourites last season at the start of the season because of the size of the club, you know, their recent, you know, past in terms of the success that they've had up, you know, in the Premier League and stuff. But I think people really forgot just how catastrophic the fall had been and how much of a, you know, real bad situation they were in off the field. And, you know, it was never going to be easy for them to hit the ground running, I don't think, in League Two last season. They obviously, they had the managerial change, it just didn't work out for Barker in the way they thought it would. Orford came in and as you mentioned there, went on a really good run. There's an optimism around the place towards the end of the season. Recruitment, I think, has been solid in the summer. Westcar's the one that stands out for me, really. Scored 17 in all competitions for Walsall last season. Danny Hollands has got a bit of pedigree about him. So, you know, and they've kept some of the young players that they had last season who impressed as well. And
Jed Wallace in particular.
They have, you know, the fans, the support, you know, is a factor. When it kind of, I suppose it works in two ways. It can spur the team on, but perhaps it also would at times give opposing teams extra motivation to try and quieten down the home crowd, as difficult as that may be at times at Pompey. So they've got to deal with that pressure, but they've got to try and use it to their advantage. And I certainly think that they'll be among the teams towards the top end of the division. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last season, but as we said, it's going to be tight. I don't see them running away with it at all.
Okay, well, we're going to look at some of the front runners in just a second, talk a little bit more generally about League 2 this season, and to help us do that, we're going to be joined by Lloyd Langman, who is one of the men behind The Two Unfortunates, the non-partisan Football League blog, which you can read at thetwounfortunates.com. Lloyd has written The Two Unfortunates League 2 preview, which you can read on there this week, and he joins us next after this bit of music.
We are going up's League 2 preview. We've got the Football League covered.
So, Lloyd, welcome to We Are Going Up. Thanks very much for coming on. Last season, League 2 was incredibly tight. Just 39 points from top to bottom, which compared to 61 in League 1 and 65 in the Championship. The obvious question, I guess, should we expect something similar this season, do you think?
Yeah, I expect so. I mean, if anything, the standard is of teams is kind of got worse, I think, on the whole. And I think in looking across the 24 for the preview that I'm posting on our website, it's actually difficult to pull teams out at the top and at the bottom. I think there's going to be a lot of teams on similar points around the middle.
Okay, well, you're a Plymouth fan, so how about we talk a little bit about Plymouth to start. I think 8 summer signings as we record: Lee Cox from Swindon, Oliver Norburn from Bristol Rovers, Dean Smalley from Oxford, but you have crucially signed Reuben Reid up permanently now. 21 goals last season. I think the first Plymouth striker scored more than 20 goals in a season since 1984. How crucial is that bit of business by John Sheridan?
Everything's been positive at Argyle this summer. I mean, we did a lot of business early on, and the fan base has generally been quite confident about our chances. Although that said, after making some good signings, we lost our captain, Conor Hourihain, about a month or so ago, and Oliver Norburn's been brought in the midfield to replace him, but whether he does the job remains to be seen. I mean, he was released from Bristol Rovers, so, you know, I think we're looking better than we were last year, but I'm still not convinced we're quite there yet.
Okay, well, now on to the rest of the division, and I'm pleased to say that also on the line is Mark. I'm going to brand you as a Football League betting expert. I hope that's not too much pressure. Mark O'Hare is on the line. And Mark, you were on with us, I think, about a year ago when we looked forward to League 2 last season. Betting-wise, favourites for promotion from League 2 this year?
Well, you've kind of got the big four, really. Portsmouth are considered the favourites, 8-1 best price, short of 6-1 in some places. Of course, they were 4-1 favourites last season before flopping. Bury, very close to them, though, 17-2, also 8-1 though, across the board, and a lot of bookmakers. And then you've got Luton at 9s and Shrewsbury at 11-1. They seem to be the big four. I see quite a lot of people are talking about Portsmouth. Of course, Andy Orford made quite an impact when he joined towards the end of the season. I think they finished with 5 wins from 7, finished in 13th as well after one stage looking like going down. They did lose 8 games at home, which I think needs to be addressed if they are going to push on and take the title. But you look at that squad, they've got a really big squad, full of experience, full of talent. You know, Jed Wallace, Danny Hollands, Ricky Holmes, Tom Craddock, Nicky Shorey, Patrick Adjaman. You know, you just look across the board, there's so much quality in that squad. You would expect them to go quite well. Of course, Craig Westcar has joined now as well from Walsall. He scored 17 goals at League One level last year. But For me, it's Bury. I know, Mark, you'll be pleased with that.
Well, I was going to say I can raise you those 17 goals in League One for the 19 goals scored by Ryan Lowe last season for a relegated team in League One. He's obviously our big signing. Chris Hussey from Burton has come in. I know, DC, you saw him play in the playoff final at Wembley. Danny Mayer is coming in permanently. Kelvin Atuhu, who played under Flitcroft at Barnsley, has joined. And Lowe and Nardiello. That is a little bit tasty up front. I've got to say, from my point of view, I'm very excited about this season. And I have actually had a bet on us to go up, which does not bode well at all.
You mentioned some of the forward players there, but defensively last season under Flitcroft, you were really good.
Yeah,
kept a lot of clean sheets. I mean, is the defence still in place?
Jim McNulty, who played obviously for Barnsley in the Championship, he's now the new club captain. We've got Pablo Mills, who got promoted with Crawley through the divisions a few years ago. Craig Jones, who was playing right midfield, has now gone back to right back, and obviously Hussey's coming at left back. And we've got a new goalkeeper, Shwan Jalal, I think that's how I pronounce it. He was at Bournemouth before. So that's the back four, looking pretty solid. We haven't lost at home since he took over, which is November, which is a long time ago now. And I'm going to the game against Cheltenham on Saturday, which means obviously that'll be the one that we lose. Can we talk about the promoted teams a bit, Lloyd? What do you make of Luton coming up? Because they've lost their best player, basically, who's gone to Brentford. Andre Gray scored 30 goals in 45 games for them when they got promoted last season. Do you think they've got a chance of doing the double bounce into League One?
I don't see why not. I was speaking to a Luton fan today, actually, about Andre Gray, and it's true that they haven't really spent on bringing in a replacement, but the guy I spoke to was of the opinion that Mark Cullen is more than capable of coming into the team and replacing Gray, apparently technically as good, if not better than Gray, and he's had a good pre-season as well. And I think, you know how it is with promoted teams, momentum's always key, and although the sides that came up last year weren't fantastic, this year, out of the two, I would be quite surprised if Luton weren't top half. Whether they'll be up there as part of the supposed big four, I'm not so sure, but they'll be up there.
Mark, I suspect you may not necessarily agree with that.
No, I don't. I think they've been given a lot of respect in the markets, just like Portsmouth were last year, because they're quite a big team, they have a big following, and I think they're going to have quite a big expectation on them this season. I was doing a bit of research in the last couple of weeks, and the average position for a promoted conference club coming up is 13th in their first season. I think that's probably going to be about right, if not on the verge of the playoffs. But I don't see them challenging for the title. They're 19-2 to win the league, 15-8 for promotion, which does come across quite short to me. They've got quite a lot of experience in Mark Tyler, Steve McNulty, Luke Guttridge, but I'm just not so sure that they can sustain it for a season. They've lost their captain, Ronnie Henry, to Stevenage. They have brought in a few decent players in Adam Drury, Paul Connolly, Luke Wilkinson to strengthen the defence, but I'm just not convinced they're as good as the odds suggest in the betting markets anyway.
One thing that I would say would give hope perhaps to Luton Town fans, and not that I want to be doing that.
I was going to say,
but anyway,
are you the man to be discussing this?
Yeah, it's John Still, really. I mean, we maybe forget what a great job he did at Dagenham and Redbridge, got them up into League One a few years ago, which was a remarkable achievement. Yeah, and he did that, you know, at least in part by consistently managing to find talent from the non-league game and picking them up. Craig McCarl-Smith, I suppose, being maybe the one of the most successful examples. Paul Benson, another one, who's now back with him, actually, at Luton, signed from Swindon. And getting them into the league and, you know, finding these gems that maybe were late developers or dropped out of the game when they were young and have come back into it through the non-league. And, you know, he did really well. And maybe Luton, he's got not as much of a reliance on doing that, because he can spend money and there is a bit more of an infrastructure at the club than there was at Dagenham, but he's also still doing that. Charlie Walker, who they've signed from Peacehaven and Telscombe, scored 43 goals last season. They did the double in their league, the cup, like the Southern Cup and one of the sort of Conference South, I think, maybe. Might be the rung below that. But they did the double. They had a successful season. He scored 43 goals last season. So he'll be a confident player. And he might be another one of these players that sort of comes into the league and takes to it, you know, really well.
What was the name of that club again?
Peacehaven and Telscombe.
I don't think I've ever heard of them in my life before. There you go. You learn something every single week on this show. Let's talk about Shrewsbury, one of the sides, the four sides that came down from League One last season. It's all changed there over the summer. Mickey Mellon is the new manager, Lloyd, and they've bought 16 new players. So it's almost an entirely different squad to last season. Do you like the look of some of these signings? Scott Vernon, 43 goals for Aberdeen in the last 4 years. James Collins, who did well for them before, back from Hibs. Liam Lawrence and Jordan Clark. Mellon worked with them at Barnsley. Nathaniel Knight-Percival, James Wesolowski, Mark Ellis, Ashley Vincent. A lot of well-known players in the lower divisions there.
I mean, again, it's difficult to say when there's so many new players coming into a club. And although some of those players have had some good seasons, good careers, I'm not sure Scott Vernon, Liam Lawrence are necessarily at the peak of their careers. I think Mickey Mellon did well when he was at Fleetwood, and I thought he was quite unlucky to go there. I think the Fleetwood chairman, Andy Pilley, was just so hungry for the club to get up that Mellon had to make way. But yeah, I think he seems a good fit for Shrewsbury. They've had a couple of quiet years after going up from League Two. Graham Turner perhaps spent a little bit too long there, and things needed freshening up one way or another. But yeah, whether you can build a team, you know, over a summer like that and go up, I'm not sure. That's why in my own preview, I've been looking at a couple of different sides that are perhaps going into the season in slightly more stable fashion, a bit more continuity.
Name them for us.
Well, two sides that were chasing the playoffs for towards the end of the season, and both managed to get in there, Southend and York. Maybe I'm being a bit contrary with putting both of them alongside Bury for my favourites, but I just think that Phil Brown and Nigel Worthington did really well to get them in the playoffs last season, and although both have lost a couple of players, I just wonder whether that little bit of continuity might count for something this season when, you know, quite a few teams have had a big turnover in players.
One team that is going to be interesting to follow the progress of this season is Oxford United. It's all changed there over the summer as well. Michael Appleton, only 38. He's already managed four clubs. And I think it's important that he gets this job right for his own career, really. He's taken over replacing Gary Waddock, who's been sacked over the summer. Mark, what do you make of Oxford's chances? What are the bookies saying about Oxford this season? Have they got a chance of going up? I always say they're going to go up by the playoffs and they never make it.
Yeah, they seem to be one of those sort of teams that everyone seems to tip up at the start of a season. Although this season seems to be different. They're 25-1 to win the league, 6-1 for promotion. I think that's probably just about right. Of course, they were top of the table at the start of December last season, and then things started to unravel. I'm not a big fan of Michael Appleton. I think just the fact he seems to jump ship quite quickly. As you say, he needs to settle down, actually do a job for once. And the new owners at Oxford were quick to get rid of Gary Waddock. I think he lost 7 of 8 games in charge, and I've not been too impressed with the summer business they brought in. Of course, James Constable's now left as well.
That's bizarre, isn't he? He was one goal away from breaking the record, and he's gone to Eastleigh, the all-time club top goal scorer. I've actually got a tweet here from Paul Matthews. We asked for tweets early today. As an Oxford fan, I'm very pleased to have Appleton. Not being that donkey Waddock is his most positive attribute. There you go. So maybe the Oxford fans are feeling slightly more optimistic about it than you, Mark. DC, you want to say something about Oxford?
Yeah, well, so they have signed George Long on loan from Sheffield United, which I think is quite a decent signing. He's a keeper that showed some promise when he first came into the Sheffield United team, since lost his place, but it's a six-month loan. To get him some first team football, so I think that would be a decent acquisition for them, but I do share your doubts perhaps about them in terms of how well they'll do this season. I'm not necessarily convinced about Michael Appleton. We'll see how long he sticks around this time. Surely he's going to want to, you know, he needs to stick around. He needs to really cement his reputation and you know, put some roots down somewhere, because it just hasn't, you know, he's not lasted long enough in any job so far to really do that. But I just wondered whether there might be any specials out there of any bookmakers to get Cambridge to finish ahead of Oxford in the old university battle, because I think it could potentially happen.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something out there somewhere along the lines. I quite like Cambridge, to be honest. I think they've made a few decent signings. I like their manager, Richard Money, who's got a pedigree in League Two as well. I think he guided Walsall to the title a few years ago. I think they're quite a decent shot for a top half finish at 7-4, whereas at the other side, I think Oxford could be in the bottom half myself. But yeah, I quite like Cambridge.
Okay. What about relegation candidates then? Lloyd, you've been looking at all 24 clubs. Last season it went right to the wire with Wickham somehow staying up on the final day at Bristol Rovers' expense. There's one team that everyone's talking about in terms of relegation this season, and that's a team we've got a transfer embargo, and that's Exeter City. Paul Tisdale, I think he's the second longest serving manager in English football after Arsene Wenger, but he's got a difficult job there this season.
Yeah, well, it's been a difficult job for as long as he's been there, and it's, I think, particularly made harder by how quite a number of supporters are right on his back and criticising him at every turn. I mean, what he's supposed to be doing better than he currently is, I'm not sure. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult year for them, no doubt. They still haven't been able to sign anyone all summer at all. As far as I know, they haven't spoken about when they're going to be able to pay the loan back to the PFA, which is the reason why they're under the transfer embargo. They lost their final friendly at home to Torquay on Saturday. Yes, they had a couple of injuries, a bit of flu around the squad apparently, but it all looks a bit sad going into the season, even saying that as an Argyle fan. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're down there at all.
Okay, some of the other teams mentioned in the bookies odds, Mark, I'm sure you can give us who the favourites are. It's all the same names really. We always think they're going to go down. Accrington, Morecambe, and they always survive. What are the bookies saying in terms of favourites to go down?
Morecambe are actually the favourites of 5-1 for relegation, followed by Exeter, Accrington, and Wickham all at 6-1. Then you've got Dagenham at 7-1, Mansfield 9-1, and a glut of teams all along the 10-1 mark. I tend to agree that Exeter are probably the most likely to go down, and at 6-1 they represent a bit of value there. 10-1 to finish bottom of the league as well, if you like that. They only won 6 games at home last year. Their captain's been transferred now as well, Danny Coles, because of the Twitter controversy. I think they need to finish 5 points above the relegation zone as well, so they're definitely at the top of everyone's list for relegation. I quite like the look at Cheltenham at 10-1. I think they're double the price of Morecambe to go down, sort of punched above their weight for 2 years. I like Mark Gates, he's a good manager. He's made a few sensible and decent signings in Nasser Hall, Matt Taylor, Trevor Carson in goal as well. But they look a striker short, and if they regress at all, I think they could be in big trouble, and I think 10-1's a touch of value there for relegation.
We'll get on to this when we do our predictions later, but looking at all the teams today and over the weekend, it's really difficult, I think. Exeter are the ones that stand out for me because of the fact that they've lost several players and not been able to bring in any at all, and with no sign of that situation coming to any sort of resolution. So I think it's going to be a very difficult season for them. But then after that, you look at there are a lot of teams who, because the league was so tight last season, you might think that there's not much between them. And there's teams that, like, in the mid-table, like Newport last season, and someone like Mansfield, Cheltenham, and you think, well, they're going to improve. They've all bought in a reasonable amount of players. They've all lost, but there's been turnover in every squad, so it's difficult to say, really. But I don't know if there's any, whereas last season perhaps you could look at Torquay at the start of the season, and Morecambe were down there, Accrington were down there, Wickham were down there, but I think, I'm not sure Morecambe or Accrington are going to be as bad as they were last season. They both finished the season reasonably well. Accrington in particular, after the first few months, actually went on a really good run. Their performance was quite good under James Beattie. So I was lost really to try and pick another team of Exeter.
Northampton as well want to put the nightmare of last year behind them under Chris Wilder, so they'll be hoping to push on this season. And also AFC Wimbledon. And Mark, I remember seeing a tweet from you a few weeks ago about the bookies quite fancying AFC Wimbledon this season. They've signed Big Bayoak in Fenway, I noticed, all 16 stone of him. Have they got a chance of maybe getting in the playoff shake-up, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I think they did their business quite early in Hackenfenway. They also brought in Matt Tubbs as well, who's finally found his scoring boots again online at Crawley last year. I think he got 8 in 18. Hackenfenway got 10 in 34 in League One. So I think they're always quite tight and quite well set up by Neil Ardley last season to defend. But now they've got that kind of X factor going forward. They're 80-1 at the start of June to win the league. That's now 40-1. The Shrewdies have been in there and sort of gobbled it all up, so you can still get 8-1 on them being promoted, which has appeal. 33-20 to finish in the top half as well holds appeal for me. They finished they should really better their best ever record, which is 16th and 54 points. I do like Ardley, decent tactician, They've been at this level for 3 years now. Danny Bullman's also joined, and I mentioned him as well. They've also got a talented young midfielder as well, and Harry Pell. So I think there's progress to be had for Wimbledon. I definitely think they're a keen outsider, but you probably missed the bigger prices, which have already gone during the World Cup.
Okay, a few tweets. Dan Anders: Shrewsbury will win the league. Top manager recruited. Excellent additions. They may start slow, but they've got the right players and manager to score a lot of goals. Bury will be strong as well. Adam Brown: Oxford will be mid-table, probably lower than our customary 8th or 9th. Nothing like a bit of optimism to start the season. Matt says: Shrewsbury and Bury look good to me. Wimbledon are the dark horses. Cheltenham and Exeter for the drop. Andy Hipkins: Matt Tubbs, very astute signing for AFC Wimbledon. His partnership with Akinfenwa could shoot them into the playoffs. At Wagyu Podcast to get in touch. Lloyd, we're going to wrap this up now, but maybe a final team from you that you think we should look out for this season. Maybe someone we haven't mentioned, or maybe someone we have mentioned. Just going through it, you thought, you know what, they might have a pretty good year this year.
I think no one's really been speaking about Stevenage, and again, there's been a lot of incoming and outgoing players, but they look solid. They've got a decent squad, and Wesley knows how to put together a team. So I don't think they'll be too far off the pace this season.
Yeah, and Mark, you've mentioned some of the runners and riders there, some of the prices you can get on various teams. But if you had to pick three of your top bets for League Two, the best value bets you think are out there, which ones would they be?
I think Exeter relegation at 6-1. You can't argue with that one. Again, the team's not being able to bring in any players because of the transfer embargo and seeing a few leave, having to field the kids. Slightly shorter then, I've got Plymouth for a top 7 finish at 15-8. I think they'll progress under John Sheridan. Reuben Reid's a great signing. And finally, it's not one to get you rich, and it's quite a long time to wait for it to be paid out, but I think Northampton to finish in the top half at 10-11 is an absolute steal. I think they'll really push on now under Chris Wilder. They've made some very good signings in the summer too. I think they're an outside shot for promotion, let alone the top half. So they'd be my three bets, but I fancy Bury to win the league.
Yes, that's what I like to hear. Mark, thanks very much for coming on. I believe you're going to be back on with us tomorrow looking at the runners and riders in League One, so we'll speak to you tomorrow. And Lloyd, thank you very much for coming on. Where can people read this League Two preview?
It's on the Two Unfortunates, and it'll be live from Tuesday lunchtime.
Okay, so probably as you hear this, it'll be up there right now. That's the twounfortunates.com. DC, predictions at the ready?
Oh yeah.
We'll do it in a second.
I've just made a few changes.
We are going up's League 2 preview. Predictions.
So we've given it the big build-up. It is predictions time. And last year we did it sort of quite complicated, didn't we? We did kind of like champions, runners-up, playoff winners and so on. We're going to make it a little bit more simple this year. Four teams to go up, two teams to go down, a top scorer and a one to watch. Have you done a one to watch?
Oh, I forgot about a one to watch.
Well, we can leave it if you want.
No, come on. That's all right. I'll pick one out.
Okay, all right then. So four teams to go up, and we're going to do a very, very brief explanation why. Are we 10 seconds or so? Okay, shall I go first or do you want to go first on the promoted teams?
You go first.
Okay, my four to go up, and the reasons why. Shrewsbury, they're always strong, I've found, in League 2 level traditionally. They've got a new manager who's got a pedigree of promotion. They made a lot of good signings. I just fancy them to do well this year. I think they'll definitely be the best of the four relegated clubs. Portsmouth, I've gone for a lot of the reasons we talked about earlier. 5 wins and 2 draws under Andy Orford last season. They made some good signings this year. Craig Westcott scored lots of goals in League 1. They seem to be on an upward momentum now. The fans want Andy Orford in charge. He's in charge. I think they're going to have a much better season. So I'm going to go for Portsmouth. Slight outsiders, but I'm going to go for Burton, probably via the playoffs after 2 near misses. If they can combine the form of the last 2 seasons, the attacking mentality they had 2 years ago and the defensive solidity of last season into 1 year, they could do it. And of course, I've got to go for my own team. I've got to go for Bury to go up as well, because I've had a bet on us to go up and I have to sort of make it official on the podcast. I just think we're going to have a really good season. I think we've got a good manager. We've got an excellent squad for this division. If you saw our lineup from the friendly on Saturday against Rochdale, it looks very, very strong, and I fancy us to go up automatically this season. Famous last words, David Cameron Walker.
Okay. Much the same, really.
All right. The exact same four?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, yeah. Well, we saved ourselves a load of time then. Two teams to go down. You can go first on this one.
Two teams to go down. Well, Exeter, as you've mentioned,
yeah,
I think they will go down. I mean, having said that, I mean, it's we've seen teams like Morecambe, like Accrington, year in, year out, be favourites to go down and survive in this division. So I don't think it's completely beyond them. I think they're certainly going to have a real tough season, and they obviously need to get their situation with the finances sorted out sooner rather than later.
I've gone for Exeter as well. Who's your second team?
My second team, as I mentioned, this was difficult. This was like just, you know, just shutting your eyes and sticking a pin in the league table, really. There are a lot of teams who I think, some of the teams that struggled last season have improved. Some of the teams that were mid-table, upper mid-table, I'm not sure they've improved that much. So I think it's going to be really tight. But the one I went for in the end was Mansfield.
I was thinking about them. Paul Cox seemed to be on the verge of being sacked for a large part of last season.
They've lost a lot of players in terms of numbers, and they've brought a few in, but they've certainly lost more than have come in. Some of the players they've interesting. They brought in two players from AC Monza.
They could say AC Milan then for a second.
Who appeared to be British players, Alex Fisher and Fergus Bell. And also
don't sound very Italian.
Also brought in somebody from Winterthur. I don't even know where that is. I've not checked, but I've no idea what country that's from. Sasha Studer.
I've been boring. I've gone for Morecambe. Here's a stat. They finished their first three seasons in the Football League in the top half of League Two. In the last 4 years, they've failed to finish any higher than 15th. So I think this might be the year when it finally catches up with them. Although I would like to see Kevin Ellison banging them in still, if he's still there. I hope he is. Right, top scorer then. Who have you gone for? I've gone for Ryan Lowe. Of course I've gone for Ryan Lowe.
Yeah, I thought about him, but I just wonder whether... score goals, I don't know if he'll be the top scorer.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. 35 years old.
That's true, but his stats are pretty incredible.
They are good.
27 last time he was in League 2, 19 last season in League 1. He takes pens and free kicks as well. Mm. Who have you gone for?
Well, I've crossed out a couple of names that I had.
Throwing his pen down in disgust.
I did have Craig Westcar, and I also had James Collins of Shrewsbury, but I've bottled those two, and I thought, well, I'm going to try and go for something a little bit different. Hopefully it won't be as disastrous as last year's Rennie Howe shout. But I've gone for Calvin Zola, who's signed for Stevenage.
That's not a bad shout, I suppose.
Coming down from Aberdeen, didn't have the best time of it up at Aberdeen, but last time he was in League 2, he was tremendous for Burton Albion, scored all sorts of goals.
There's quite a few strikers who have been playing in Scotland who've come down to League 2 this season. I'm not sure what that says about the respective divisions. Make your mind up on that. So you're going for Calvin Zola?
Yeah, I just think he'll suit Stevenage. He's a big physical striker, and I think he'll give them something.
And finally we're going for one to watch. So I'm going for a player who played a big part in helping Cambridge get promoted last season, Ryan Donaldson. He played two games at Wembley last year. He won man of the match in both of them, so he will be known to non-league fans. He's 23 years old, scored 7 times from midfield last season, and I think he's going to do quite well at League 2 level. So Ryan Donaldson from Cambridge is my one to watch. Have you got a one to watch for us to round this first podcast of the season off with?
I did mention Charlie Walker earlier on of Luton Town.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much he'll play there at the start. I know John Steele has said that they're going to ease him in gently and not necessarily expect...
By the way, we're doing the show live from Luton in a couple of weeks.
We are.
Which will be exciting.
Well, hopefully we'll see him there.
Yeah.
Not going to expect the world from him straight away. So he's one I'd mention, but the one I'll pick for this bit, I would say, will be Jonjo O'Toole. Has signed for Northampton. He scored, I think, 15 goals or around about that sort of mark last season for Bristol Rovers, who eventually went down. He's a good goal-scoring midfielder. What he lacks, perhaps, in technical excellence, he certainly makes up for in determination. He's very good at timing his runs and getting on the end of things, despite the fact being a central midfielder. He's very good at popping up in the box and scoring goals, and I think he'll be a really good signing for Northampton.
Has he ditched the Ellis ban though? That's the big question.
No, I think it's very much still there.
Okay, right, that is it for our League 2 preview. I'll be there at the JD Stadium on Saturday for our opening game against Cheltenham, so there might not actually be a show next week because I'm going to be back up north, but again we'll refer to what you said at the start of the show about this season. We are spoiling you though this week. 3 shows, still got 2 more to come. Our League One preview will be out on Wednesday. Our Championship preview will be out on Thursday. If you do want to get in touch in the meantime, if you're a new listener, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at WAGU Podcast. That's Wagyu Podcast. Or you can go via the website wearegoingup.co.uk. Thank you, David Cameron Walker.
Thank you. It's good to be
there
back.
It is good to be back. That was a longer preview than expected, but I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to our guests as well, Lloyd Langman from The Two Unfortunates and Mark O'Hare. We will speak to you tomorrow for our look at League One.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.